Welcome to Global Perspectives on Migration and Food Security, the podcast where we explore one of the most critical and challenging issues shaping our world today. I'm your host, Maria Salamoni. In today's episode, we're diving into the intersection of South-South migration, food insecurity, and the COVID-19 pandemic. To help us navigate this complex topic, I'm joined by Dr. Jonathan Crush, an expert in migration studies and food security, and the director of the My Food Network. Jonathan, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Maria. I'm excited to be here and discuss these important issues with you.
So let's start by setting the stage. Jonathan, can you explain what we mean by South-South migration? How does it differ from the more commonly discussed South-North migration?
Sure. South-South migration refers to the movement of people between countries in the Global South, which includes regions like Asia, Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East. This is in contrast to South-North migration, where people move from developing countries to wealthier, industrialized nations. For the past few decades, South-South migration has grown significantly, and in some cases, even surpassed South-North migration.
And what's driving this increase in South-South migration?
Well, there are several factors at play. Economic growth in many developing countries has created new opportunities, attracting workers from neighboring regions. For example, countries like India, China, and Brazil have become major economic hubs. Similarly, oil-rich Gulf states like Saudi Arabia and the UAE have drawn millions of workers from South Asia and Africa to meet their labor demands.
So it's not just about economic opportunities, right? There are also significant push factors, reasons that force people to leave their home countries.
Yes, exactly, Maria. Political instability, conflict, climate change, food insecurity are major push factors. For instance, in the Horn of Africa, recurring droughts have devastated agricultural production, leading to food shortages that force people to migrate. The same can be said in Central America, where prolonged droughts have pushed many farmers to migrate to other countries in the region.
It sounds like South-South migration is incredibly complex, involving multiple stops and often challenging conditions. How does this make migrants more vulnerable, especially in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes, migrants in the Global South often move between countries. They're themselves struggling with poverty and weak governance. This makes them particularly vulnerable to crises like the pandemic. They're more likely to work in precarious jobs, have limited access to health care, and face greater barriers to legal protection. The pandemic has exacerbated these vulnerabilities, pushing many migrants and their families deeper into poverty and food insecurity.
That's terrible to hear. The COVID-19 pandemic has definitely been a game changer. Walk us through how the pandemic has specifically impacted global migration, particularly within the Global South.
Of course. The pandemic created what has been called by the IOM a crisis of immobility. Governments worldwide imposed travel bans, lockdowns, and border closures to contain the virus, as we well remember. And these measures had significant unintended consequences for international migration. Many of them were stranded in foreign countries, unable to return home or access jobs and income, which are often their primary reasons for migrating, after all.
India's situation comes immediately to mind. We all saw those images of millions of migrant workers walking hundreds of miles back to their villages. What happened there?
Well, you'll probably recall that India imposed a nationwide lockdown in March 2020. That left millions of internal migrants in the cities without work, shelter, or even a way to return home. Public transport was shut down, so many had no choice but to walk, often without adequate food or water. This mass unprecedented migration not only highlighted the precarious situation of these workers, but also contributed to the spread of COVID-19 to rural areas.
And what about migrant workers in the Gulf states? They seem to have been hit particularly hard by the pandemic as well.
Yes, the Gulf states rely heavily on migrant labor, particularly from countries like India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and the Philippines. These states were among the hardest hit by the economic downturn caused by the pandemic. So with the collapse of oil prices and the slowdown in construction and other industries, many migrant workers lost their jobs. So without income, housing, or legal status, and with borders closed, they were often stranded with no income or access to social protection.
I can't even imagine.
And furthermore, for many migrants, losing the job meant losing accommodation and legal status because their visas were tied to their employment. The Indian government mounted a rescue mission to repatriate its citizens who were stranded in the Gulf. It's estimated that between 3.5 and 4 million migrants were brought home in one of the largest repatriation exercises undertaken.
Goodness, a dire situation. All right, let's shift our focus now to food insecurity. How has the pandemic affected the food security of these migrant populations?
Well, we know that the link between migration and food insecurity is very complex. And migration can be both a cause and a consequence of food insecurity. For instance, when people can't feed their families, they'll be forced to migrate in search of better opportunities. Conversely, remittances sent by migrants can improve food security for their families back home. But the pandemic definitely disrupted this balance.
How so?
Well, I'd say it's because the economic downturn led to widespread job losses, particularly in sectors that employ large numbers of migrants, such as agriculture and construction. And this in turn affected their ability to send remittances, which are a lifeline for many families in developing countries. For example, in Central America and Africa, remittances dropped sharply during the pandemic, leaving many families struggling to afford basic necessities like food.
And this isn't just happening in Central America and Africa, right? South Asia has also been hit hard.
Absolutely. In countries like Bangladesh, Nepal, and the Philippines, remittances are crucial. The decline in remittances due to job losses in the Gulf states had a severe impact on food security in these countries. For example, one survey in Bangladesh found that migrant households experienced a 25% greater decline in income compared to non-migrant households, which directly affected their ability to purchase food.
It really is a vicious cycle then. Higher food prices, reduced remittances, and disrupted food production. How are these factors playing out in different regions?
That's a great question, Maria. In sub-Saharan Africa, for instance, the disruption of global food supply chains led to shortages of key staples like rice, maize, and wheat, driving up prices. Migrants who were already vulnerable found it increasingly difficult to afford food. In India, the lockdowns disrupted agricultural work, leading to labor shortages and reduced food production, which further exacerbated food insecurity.
Let's talk about some specific case studies to really illustrate these points. How about we start with the Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh?
Sure. The Rohingya are one of the most vulnerable populations in the world. Since 2017, over 700,000 Rohingya have fled to Bangladesh, where they live in overcrowded refugee camps. The pandemic has only added to their hardships. With limited access to healthcare and sanitation, the risk of COVID-19 was very high. At the same time, disruptions in food aid delivery led to shortages, increasing hunger in the camps.
And the economic downturn hasn't helped either.
Exactly. Many Rohingya work in the informal sector, doing jobs like day labor or selling goods in local markets. The lockdowns and movement restrictions wiped out these opportunities, leaving refugees with even fewer resources to buy food.
And I imagine the impact on food security was severe.
Exactly.
So where do we go from here? What do you see as some of the key policy lessons and recommendations that could help address these challenges in the event of future pandemics, which experts agree are almost inevitable?
The main lesson is the need for inclusive and evidence-based responses to ensure that migrants are not left behind in the response and recovery process. This includes extending access to healthcare, social protection, and food aid to all migrants, regardless of their legal status.
And what about the global migration governance framework? How can that be improved?
We need to rethink how we approach migration governance to better protect the rights and welfare of migrants. This includes ensuring access to legal protections, safe working conditions, and fair wages.
Finally, let's talk about food security. How can we address this issue in the context of the pandemic?
Strengthening food systems to ensure they are resilient and can function even in the face of disruptions is key. Targeted support for the most vulnerable populations, including migrants, is also essential. This means not only providing food aid, but also ensuring that food production and distribution can continue without major interruptions.
The pandemic has certainly exposed so many vulnerabilities in our world, but it's also provided an opportunity to rethink how we address these challenges.
Absolutely. By supporting and protecting migrants, we can help ensure that they can continue to contribute to our shared future. Migration is not just a challenge, it's also an opportunity, and we need to recognize that in our policy responses.
I know there is so much to talk about here, but we are out of time for today. Jonathan, thanks so much for being here and sharing your insights. This discussion has been incredibly enlightening.
Thanks very much, Maria. It's been a pleasure to be part of this important My Food conversation.
This podcast was created with the assistance of Wondercraft, an AI-powered audio studio.